Today's daf is Pei Aleph. We're going to start at the top, third line, Ela Amareva. But before, let's just review quickly. So we had this Mishnah, which talked about blood that got mixed up with other blood, which we assumed means that the bloods are mixed together, okay? Even though it could be both. It could be, although we'll see today, maybe not. But at this point, we assume that we're talking about blood gets mixed up with other blood, either two cups, you know, one cup gets mixed up with a bunch of other cups, or blood gets poured into, dumped into the same cup together, and they're mixed up. And assuming that it's talking about both of those cases, or at least that it's a, at least including the case of what we call balul, where the bloods are mixed up, we had a problem with understanding our Mishnah according to the way that, we learned our Mishnah, which was a bunch of all these cases of mixed up bloods. Then we went to a Mishnah in Para, which talked about Rabbi Lezer and Chachamim in that case, which had a machloket about water of the Mechatat getting where some regular water got dropped into it. And Rabbi Lezer required two hazaot, and there were three different approaches to why he required three hazaot. And the last one, which was the one we dealt with mainly, was Rav Ashi, who says that he must hold an ein bila, because we had a whole issue about why would the two hazaot resolve the issue. And Rav Ashi's shita was that he doesn't think that the bloods get mixed up, and therefore, meaning that at any point you could take the mechatat, you could take it, but it could be that you won't have, and you also... And according to Rav Ashi, you need, Rav Ashi says, ein bila. And then he says, and that's why you have to sprinkle two hazaot to make sure that you, Right, he thinks hazaah doesn't need a shi'ur. But we're worried that in one haza'ah, you might end up with only mechatat. I'm sorry, with only mayim psulim, and that's why you need two haza'ot. Okay? So now, then we question from a bunch of other sources, including a whole bunch of sections of our Mishnah, that our Mishnah seems to imply that Rabbi Lezer holds yesh bila, because if he held ein bila, then the cases in our Mishnah wouldn't have made sense. Every time they kind of answer it and they say, well, it would be the case, like, for example, with the chatat and the ola, where you had the majority of uzam chatat. You took it, you sprinkled the amount of the blood that's supposed to go lamata plus a little more at the top, which means even if you hold ein bila, you still end up with enough blood of the chatat above. And when you then sprinkle below, we're not actually talking about that your yotze, your ola, or whatever it might be that you need to do at the bottom, but your yotze, your shirayim. And that's how we explained all the cases in the Mishnah. We then got stuck with the very last case. Then we brought these cases, what about nitarvu matana achat b'matana achat, or nitarvu matana arba imamanat arba. And then also there, you would need to say yesh bila. And then they said, no, there we're talking about exact quantities. So then we know that all the blood is actually being presented, even if we say ein bila, because if you have the exact amount, it would be fine. However, we ended with the last question, that in the case where nitarva matana achat with matana arba, you can't say you have exact quantity of blood, because otherwise there would be no issue of baltosif. And clearly in the Mishnah, there was this whole argument about baltosif, so we got stuck. So now comes Rav, and he's going to try to explain Rav Ashi. Remember, just to review, even though I already said this today, but I just want to make it very clear, we have the Mishnah in Para with the Mechatat, and there Rav Ashi said that Ein Bila, according to Rabbi Eliezer, right, for Chita Rabbi Eliezer, Ein Bila, okay, that's what he says. And then we have our Mishnah, where we said the case is where the blood is mixed up, it's Balul, and yet it seems to imply that yesh bila, because otherwise this matana chap and matana arba would never work. Okay? So our Mishnah seems to say yesh bila. So how could we resolve that? So ela amarava bibalul lo pligi ki pligi bikosot. Our Mishnah is actually not talking about balul at all. I started today by saying that we assumed that the machloket was both in the case where blood got poured in together and it's in the same combination, Also, it could be in the case where you have kosot got mixed up. You have a kos of matanat arba or matanat achat mixed up with a whole bunch of kosot of matanat arba. So what do you do? So now we're going to learn that if you read the Mishnah according to it's not balul, it's just kosot, then every time you do the matanat arba or whatever you would do, you'd have to do it twice with each cup. In other words, each cup gets treated as if it's the more chamor. Each cup, you'd have to do each cup twice, the mala lamata. So now they're going to say, and kipligi b'kosot, so what's the machloka by kosot? Rabbi Lezer, ile rowin. Remember, now why does Rabbi Lezer say you could do it? What if you're not supposed to do it lamala? So you just look at it as if it's water, and you're allowed to pour water on the mizbeach to wash off the mizbeach. So you look at it as if it's water, and that's why it's okay. And chachamim, obviously, right, the Rabbanan, late lehu rowin, they don't hold by rowin. Okay? So he says very simply, that resolves it. If we say, now it's very simple, if we say our Mishnah is not talking about Balul, where it's mixed up, well then it's very simple. The Mishnah Parak, you can't say this contradiction from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah isn't talking about things getting mixed up. Our Mishnah has nothing to do with it, and then our Mishnah is irrelevant for that debate. Okay, sounds good. However, Gemara is going to question that assumption. Ubi Balul lo plige, they're really not arguing about Balul. Now in order to prove this, they're going to bring in, if you remember, we talked about this a few dapim ago, our Mishnah has one version of the Machloket Rabbi Lezer and Chachamim about which cases they argue about. And then we saw that Rabbi Yehuda in a Braita says they're actually not arguing about what you think they're arguing about. They agree about this case and they agree about this case and they're only arguing about one particular case. So we're now going to bring in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion to show, now the assumption always is when somebody comes and has a different understanding, we're going to assume that they're differing on one point but not every point. Okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to take Rabbi Yehuda's statement about what they're actually arguing about and what they're not arguing about, which disagrees with our whole version of the Mishnah. But we're going to say that it's very clear there that he thinks that when they do argue, they argue in a case of Balul also. And if they argue in a case of Balul, that's what Rabbi Yehuda thinks. And our Tana of our Mishnah, who thinks that the Machloket is in a different case, argues about which case the Machloket is about, but he wouldn't argue about is it Balul or is it not Balul. Okay, so that's going to be our proof. We're going to prove that Balul, Pligi, Be'emet, they are arguing from Rabbi Yehuda, or at least we're going to attempt to. We're going to question our understanding right now from that. Ube Balulo, Pligi, V'hatanya, doesn't it say in a Braita? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Lo nechleku Rabbi Lezer v'chachamim, al dam chatat shenitarev b'dam ola sheyikarev. Right, they agree if chatat and ola get mixed up, of course you can sprinkle the blood. Right, whereas here we saw they disagree about that. Everyone agrees that they can't be sacrificed in the mizbeach. So what's the one case they argue? It's only a tmima with a baalat mum. Remember, our Mishnah said only if you brought one first, then you could do the rest. But here, Rabbi Lezer omer yikarev, bein bebalul, bein bekosot. Bechachamim omerim lo yikarev. Okay, so you follow? Here we're going to say, you see here that Rabbi Lezer thinks he kare bein bebalul bein bekosot, which means that Rabbi Yehuda thinks they disagree in both balul and kosot. And the fact that our Tana disagrees about which cases, but presumably he wouldn't disagree about the details of was it balul or was it bekosot. So now they're going to answer, no, you could say like this, Rabbi Yehuda, aliba de Rabbi Lezer, matne bein bebalul bein bekosot, the Rabbanan bekosot plige, no, you could say that our Tana disagrees on both issues. Our Tana thinks it's only kosot, and our Tana thinks that it's a different case, right? Now, they differ both about the cases and about is it balul or kosot. And therefore, we end with, that's Rava's explanation, that there's no problem to the Mishnah and Para from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is talking about a case where it's kosot, okay? We're going to come back to this at the very end of the daf. They're going to say, oh, don't you remember, though, the maskana here was that it was bekosot. So remember that. Okay. Amar Abaye. Lo shanu ela tchilat chatat ve'ola. We're only arguing here when we talk about, okay, going back to our Mishnah. Okay, now we're talking about the case in our Mishnah, right, where nitanim lemata nitaru b'nitanim lemala. Now, let's just review. Nitanim lemala are chatat. Okay, later on we're going to get today, so maybe I'll already say this. We're going to get to the chatat apnimi and the chatat chitzoni. So if you remember what happens with the chatat apnimi, you do the zrikot. Until now, we've been talking about the chatat achitzoni, the one that's done in the mizbeach achitzon, which is we're dealing with the same mizbeach where the olam, the asham, and the todah, and the shlamim. It's just that the chatat is at the top, and all the rest are at the bottom, from underneath the red line. Then we have the chatat apnimi, which is done. Okay, well, actually, let's just go one more. Okay, we have, here's our mizbeach. Okay, remember the mizbeach has the yesod at the bottom. You remember that part that juts out, one amma? So this is the yesod. Okay, this is where we pour the shirayim. So the chatat, okay, and here's our chudasikah in the middle. So the chatat goes above. At the bottom, you have the ola, the shlamim, choda, asham. And then in the yesod, you're going to put the shirayim of everything, right? The shirayim of the chatat, the shirayim of the ola, the shlamim, right? And the shirayim of the chatat apnimi. Do you remember the shirayim of the chatat apnimi? A little bit had its own location. You remember? Because you're supposed to do it right when you walk out of Ol Moed. So they do it in a little bit of a different spot, which is a little relevant. I don't know if we'll get into the details of where it's relevant, but you can remember that detail. So now what we're saying is, it must be that we're talking about chatat blood, because now what are you supposed to do? You do lamala, and then you do lamata. And remember, what did we say about lamata? So there was a bit of a debate, right? Only once we saw the questions on Rav Ashi did we start saying, well, when we say that you're yotze, the question is, do we mean when you do it, first you do it at the top, then you do it at the bottom. Why do we do it at the top first? Because the chatat takes precedence. Okay, we're going to see it in a mission in a few dapim. The chatat takes precedence. Later, we're also going to see today that the chatat apnimi takes precedence over the chatat achitzoni. Okay, there's an order of hierarchy. So chatat apnimi is first, chatat achitzoni is second, and then all the others. So if you have a mixture of these bloods, you're going to start with, assuming it's the chatat achitzoni with the ola shlamim toda asham, one of those. So you're going to go first to the top, then you're going to go to the bottom. But then we said, the question is, are you yotze when you do the bottom? It was a debate. Are you yotze the ola and the shirayim, or are you yotze just the ola? Let's just give an example that it's an ola. Okay, so now. We're going to start with Abaye now. What does Abaye say? Sorry, I lost my place. Amar Abaye. Lo shanu ela tchilat chatat ve'ola. What blood got mixed up? The ola blood, tchila, means not the shirayim, okay? Not the leftovers. The blood of the chatat gets mixed up with the blood of the ola. Aval sof chatat ve'ola, what if you had shirayim of a chatat mixed up with ola? So what would you do? Then it's obvious, right? No. So wait. So what we said in the end, we concluded, okay, I did say it was a debate, but we concluded in the end that you're not actually yotze your ola. You're only yotze the shirayim at the bottom, okay? Because, right, what was the reason? Because we don't know if there's any ola blood mixing, right? That was when we had to answer Rav Ashi, actually, right? So maybe it's not everybody would agree. But according to Rav Ashi, when we had all those questions on him, we had to answer, but then we'd say, anyway, it's because so. Okay, fine, forgetting about that detail. But now what does he say? If you had shirayim of a chatat and the ola, then there would be no debate. Because why? Both are supposed to be brought at the bottom of the mizbeach. So it's very simple, right? Divrei akol, makom ola, makom shirayim. Since the ola and the shirayim of the chatat have to be brought at the bottom. So let's say you did your chatat blood sprinkling. You now have the shirayim of the chatat, and that gets mixed up with ola blood. So of course, since it's all done in the same spot, it's all done in the same spot, very simple. That's one out. That's what Abaye says. However, Amale Rav Yosef, Hachi Amar Rav Yehuda. Shirayim Tzrichim Yitztiba. What do you mean? It's true they're both done under the Chudas Sikra, but the Shirayim goes on that ledge that juts out from the Mizbeach. It doesn't go, where do we sprinkle the Ola? On the wall of the Mizbeach. Remember we saw those pictures of the Kohen standing there on the floor next to the Yesod, and he throws it onto the wall. Remember, they always throw it onto the wall where it will ultimately drip down to the Yesod. But when you have the shirayim, you pour it, mamash, into the yesod, and it has to be poured into the yesod, according to this opinion. So we now have a debate. Is the makom shirayim the same as the makom olam? Meaning, can you throw the shirayim on the wall of the mizbeach? Or did the shirayim have to be poured into that itzdaba, that ledge? If it has to be poured to the ledge, you don't put the Ola blood on that ledge, in which case if you have Ola blood mixed up with Shirayim blood, you're going to have the same problem. You can't just say, oh, let's sprinkle on the wall of the Mizbeach near the Yisod, it'll ultimately drip down to the Yisod, that's fine.
Okay? Shirayim blood or Shirayim?
Shirayim, well, Shirayim is blood.
I thought Shirayim was also parts.
Oh, you could have Shirayim of the Mincha, let's say. But no, we're talking about blood here. Blood mixed up with blood. We're only talking about a blood combination. If it's Shirayim of something mixed up with blood, then we know which is which. So it would have to be all bloods here. So now they're saying, so let's just go back to the beginning. So Abai, actually, we don't have to go back to the beginning because we're now going to see the exact same machloket between Rish Lakish. Right, it's Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, or is it Rabbi Shimon? No, I think it's Rish Lakish. No, it's supposed to say Rish Lakish. It says Rabbi Shimon, but it's supposed to say Rish Lakish, which makes sense because Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan always argue. Rabbi Shimon is a Tana; he wouldn't be arguing with Rabbi Yochanan. V'chein amar Rish Lakish lo shanu. It's not odd that it's Rabbi Shimon because Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish is his name, so it's okay. Rish Lakish is Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, so it just said Rabbi Shimon here. They forgot the ben Lakish part. Okay. V'chein amar, if you look, there's a note that sends you the Masoret HaShas, and the Masoret HaShas in Aleph says, Tzarich lomar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Okay? V'chein amar Rabbi Shimon, lo shanu ela tchilat chatat ve'ola. Right? Only the binyan eating is of a chatat, meaning the blood of a chatat, and the blood of an ola. Aval sof chatat ve'ola. If you had the shirayim of the chatat and an ola, divrei hakol obviously doesn't mean everyone agrees with me. It means Rabbi Lezer and Chachamim would disagree in our Mishnah, wouldn't disagree in that case. They would both agree right in our Mishnah. Remember, Chachamim say you can't do it at all. You'd have to spill it into the drain. Here they say divrei hakol makom ola makom shirayim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'itamar Rabbi Elazar, adayin hi machloket. Okay, so Rabbi Rish Lakish matches Abaye, and Rabbi Yochanan matches Rabbi Yosef. Okay, which is common that you might have a similar machloket between two Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael and two Amoraim in Bavel. Mativ Rav Huna bar Yehuda. Okay, now we're going to have a question on the Shita that, let me remember what the question is. Fine, we'll read the question, then we'll see. Kodesh Heim. Okay, it says in the Pasuk, okay, this is a Pasuk about the, right, the Bechor, Kodesh Hem, She'im Nitarev Behem Kodeshim Achirim Yikrivu. Okay, what does it mean, Kodesh Hem? It means that the Bechor attains its status of Bechor, even if it got mixed in with Kodeshim Achirim, you'd still be able to sprinkle the blood. So now, what are they assuming we're talking about here? My love, sof ola ubechor. Aren't we talking about that it's the shirayim of the ola mixed up with bechor blood, and it's telling you still you can be yikarev? Now, why are they assuming that it's talking about shirayim blood? Because if you have blood of bechor mixed up with blood of ola, of course you can present it because both go at the bottom of the chutas sikra. So there wouldn't even be a question. Wouldn't be an issue. So therefore, if we need a special drashah in the Pasuk to teach it, it must be coming to tell you that even if the shirayim of the ola was mixed up with the bechor, that would work. In which case, what would you infer from here? And then now we'll know who it's arguing about. Ushma mina, makom ola, makom shirayim, which means that we're arguing with the second opinions that said that makom shirayim and makom ola are not the same. You have to do it on that itztiba. Okay, so what we're saying is the drasha comes to teach you that you could do it all one in one place, and you don't have to do the shirayim specifically on the itztiba. So there you see it. So they say no, you don't have to explain it that way. You could explain that drasha is talking about lo tchilat ola ubechor. It's not talking about shirayim. It's talking about the actual blood of the ola and the blood of the bechor. Now, what's left to explain? What's the chidush? Isn't it obvious? No, it's not so obvious. Umay kamash malam. What is it coming to teach you? De'ein olim mevatlin ze'ed ze. That if you have blood of sacrifices, let's say you have more ola blood and less bechor blood. So what might you think? That the bechor blood gets batel to the ola blood, and you can't bring it as bechor blood because it's non-existent at this point. Remember, we learned retinei bitul. It could make it as if it's no longer there. So maybe you would think that if you had two bloods mixed up with each other and one has more quantity than the other, then maybe that blood would be canceled. And therefore, Kodesh Hem comes to teach you the Bechor blood that gets mixed up in other bloods doesn't lose its status. It can still be brought on the Mizbeach, even if there's more Ola blood than the Bechor blood. Okay? So, from here, okay, so remember, we have multiple things going on here. Number one, we have this machloket. Is mekom shirayim, mekom olam, mekom shirayim, is it the same? Or does it have to be done in the itztaba? Now we have this other din that we're going to learn from the pasuk, kodesh heim. Kodesh heim is coming to teach us, according to, in order to explain the shita, that mekom olam, and it's in order to say that mekom olam is not mekom shirayim, you would have to explain that the case is talking about actual bloods, Ola blood mixed up with Bechor blood, not Shirayim, right? Because Shirayim wouldn't work if you think Mekom Ola, Mekom Shirayim is not the same. So you'd have to say that this Kodesh Heim is talking about blood, good blood, you know, regular blood mixed up with regular blood, okay, and not Shirayim blood, in which case it's coming to teach you Ein Olim Mevatzlim Zo, okay? Right? That means blood of sacrifices doesn't cancel out other blood of sacrifices. And that's the Chidush. Now we're going to go off on a tangent about this and say, what do you mean we learn it from there? Don't we learn this? And we're now going to bring, by the end, we're going to have three different psukim which teach the exact same halacha, which is quite odd, right? They're going to say, what do you mean we learn it from Kodesh Heim? Kodesh Heim comes to teach you, she'ein olim, according to this interpretation that we were stuck to say, because we didn't want to say Makom Shirayim necessarily is the same as Makom Olah, in order to explain Rav Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan, we had to say that this was talking about actual blood, and then that the chidush was Ein Olim Mevatzlim Zed Zed. So now they say, Hai Mivelakach Midam Apar Midam Asir Nafka. What do you mean? We learned that already from the Kohen and Yom Kippurim. Remember this? We've talked about it recently and certainly a long time ago in Yoma. The Kohen takes the dam of the par and the dam of the seir. He mixes them together and then he puts them on the Mizbeach. So what do you see? Now, how much, which blood, obviously one is more than the other. The par has a lot more blood than a seir, right? A par is very big and a seir is small. So clearly, even though the dam of par is more than the dam of seir, we see that they don't cancel each other. So don't we learn it from there? So now they say, Tanaihi, it's actually a machloka tana'im. Why? Ika denafka lemehacha, ika dena. We don't know why yet. We'll see later. But ika denafka lemehacha, ika denafka lemehacha. Okay. Some learn it from there, and some learn it from there. Okay. Later, we're going to see. Once we finally get to the third one, which we're actually not going to get to right now, we're going to say why doesn't each one hold like the other? Mativ Rava. Now we have another question on this opinion that you can't throw the shirayim onto the kira of the mizbeach. Okay. The opinion, the second opinion that thinks that they're not the same and it has to be done on the Itzdeva. Mativ Rava. Vihikrivu b'nei Aharon et Adam, vizarku et Adam. Okay? So now they say, Okay, so it says they hikrivu et Adam, which we learned means, right, they bring the dam holacha, vizarku et Adam. And then they sprinkle the blood. So now the question is, notice in that pasuk, what could it have said? Vikrivu b'nei Aharon et Adam vizarku otam. Or vikrivu b'nei Aharon vizarku et Adam. You could have said it with Adam appearing only once. So the fact that Dam appears twice is going to be a source for a drasha. Ma tamud lomar dam dam sheyachol ein li ela elu. Okay, there's a big debate about the nusach here. Okay, there's the whole thing whether you say these words. Okay, whether elu shenit arvu b'tzmurata she'af mechayim tikrav. Okay, from here, what can we learn? That blood that gets mixed up, the first dam teaches you that you can bring the dam even if it got mixed up with other bloods. But what's the other bloods we're talking about? Let's say you have an ola and you did a tmura. Remember what that is? You say, in place of this ola, I'm going to take a different one. And what happens in that case? They both become kodesh and you have to sacrifice them both. So let's say the blood of the ola gets mixed up with its tmura. So it's telling you, not only if the blood gets mixed up, but af mechayim tikrav. Let's say the animals get mixed up and you no longer remember which was the original ola and which was the substitute ola. Okay? So, even if they're still alive, now why even if they're still alive? Because once they're sacrificed, so there's nothing you could do about it. In other words, you're stuck. But if they're not sacrificed, what do? When you have a problem, remember, you leave it out to graze till it gets a moom, then you redeem it and you buy a new one. So there's a much better solution when they're still alive. So now they're saying, even though they're still alive and there's a solution, you don't need to deal with the solution. In other words, even when they're still alive, you'd be able to do it. And obviously then, if the doms get mixed up, you can for sure sacrifice them. Minayim lerabot toda ushlamim. What if an ola blood gets mixed up with toda and shlamim blood? So they're going to say that also we can say, assume it's obvious. The first dam is going to include dam shenitare b'tmurata, okay, or another ola or something like that. But even a toda and shlamim, we're going to say also why, because toda and shlamim have a very strong similarity to ola. Now they have a big difference. What's the big difference? The ola gets burned entirely, and the toda and the shlamim don't. But here we're only talking about the blood, though. Once the blood gets mixed up, it's all the same din because they all go on the bottom of the mizbeach. So now they're going to say, but toda and shlamim have a strong similarity to ola, and therefore if their bloods get mixed up, for sure you can sacrifice them. You can bring, you present them on the mizbeach. Why? Sheba'im b'neder unidava kimota. Okay? Their sacrifice, they could also, a toda and a shlamim can be brought as a voluntary offering. Likewise, a nidava, an ola can be brought as an ola nidava. You can say, I want to bring a korban to God, and you can bring an ola. So since they have that similarity about them, we're going to say if their bloods get mixed up, that's all included from the first word dam. What about the asham? Minayin lerabot et asham. That also, marbeni et asham, sheta'um matan arba kimoto. There's another similarity about the asham and the ola, which is, in other words, an asham, you can't, it doesn't come voluntarily, so you can't say that. You can include. So the ola, we understand. If it gets mixed up with the toda and shlamim, so it's similar because it comes as a voluntary offering also, just like the ola. If it gets mixed up with an asham, you can also bring it. Remember, we're just going through all the ones that go at the bottom of the chudas sikra. They're not mentioning the chatan, so that's more of a problem. That's we have a whole machloket about. That was our Mishnah. From Rabbani et Hasham, because the asham and the ola both do matan arba, right? Which is really shtayim shehem arba. Okay? But what about Bechor u'Maaser u'Pesach, which are not voluntary and are not Ta'un Arba? You only do Matana Achat as opposed to Shtayim Shehen Arba. So how do we know that we can include those also, that if the Ola gets mixed up with them, you can still present the blood of the Bechor and the Maaser and the Pesach? Talmud Lamar, Dam Dam. That's what the second Dam is coming to teach you. Okay, so far that's the Braita. What does this have to do with our case of the Shiraim? Right, what are we trying to show? Remember, we're trying to bring a question on the opinion that that you have to do the Shiraim on the Itzdaba. So right now, the Gemara is going to make the exact same assumption that they made last time we saw this source. Obviously, if blood gets mixed up with blood, we're going to assume, since the details are the same, and right, except here, there's one issue about the matan damim is a little different, but still, it's close enough. You put it on the bottom of the mizbeach, it should be obvious. So therefore, the drasha must be relating to shirayim mixed up with blood, right? So my lav sof ola ubechor. Aren't we assuming we're talking about you have shirayim blood of the ola mixed up with the original blood of the Bechor, meaning not the Shirayim blood of the Bechor. And there, right, and the whole, and then what would you learn from this Braita? Since we have this Drasha, this is the exact same thing we did before. Since last time it was the Drasha of Kodesh Haim, that they attained their status of Kedusha, you could still sacrifice them. You could still present them. Here, right, what do you see? It's Sof Ola, Shirayim of Ola, mixed up with Bechor. Ushma Mina, Makom Ola, Makom Shirayim. And therefore, what does it seem to apply? Since you can present them on the Mizbeach, sprinkle them, you know, throw them on the Mizbeach, it seems obvious that the Shirayim doesn't have to go specifically on the Itzdaba. So again, they answer the same thing that they answered last time. Lo, Tchilat Ola u'Bechor. Now, you can explain it's actually talking about the first blood of the Ola and the first blood of the Bechor. And then the question is going to be, my kamashran, what's the chidush? De'ein olim mevatlim zed zed. So now we have three sources. Now, this we brought, this is why they went in this order, because we started with bringing one source as a koshi, and then we said, oh no, in order to answer the koshi, Kodesh Haim doesn't teach what you thought about the makom ola is not makom, is makom shirayim. No, it teaches ein dam mevatal dam. Then we said, but didn't we learn that from dam apar and dam asir? Okay, end of section. Then we did the exact same thing with this dam dam drasha. We says, isn't this dam dam drasha trying to tell you that ola blood gets mixed up with shirayim of ola, gets mixed up with bechor? You can put it all in the same place, which means that the shirayim doesn't have to go specifically. And again, to answer that question, what did they conclude? That the dam dam drasha, the second dam, comes to teach you ein olim mevatlim ze et ze. Okay, and that's the chidush of that source. So now we're really stuck because we now have three sources that teach the exact same halacha. So last time we said, okay, it's a machloket tana'im. Some learn it from here, some learn it from here. But now we're going to say, what, it's a three-way machloket tana'im? Some learn it from all three places? Again, the only reason we got ourselves into this place of having three psukim that are all teaching the same thing was just to avoid all the questions on Rav Yosef and Abaye's opinion, I'm sorry, Rav Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that Makom Shirayim is not the same and it has to be done specifically on the Itztibah. Okay, you can't do it on the wall. If you don't have their opinion, then you don't have any problem. You only have one source that teaches you Ein Olim Mevatzelim Zedzeh, which is the Dam HaSeir and the Dam HaPar. But you wouldn't have that problem if you said that. Then you just have one source, so it would be much simpler. It's only in order to explain those Shitot that we get ourselves into this tricky situation. So now they're going to say, So if you're going to say umay kamashal de'ein olim mevatzelim zedzeh, if you're going to say that that's what it's coming to teach you, mi vilakach midam apar midam asir nafka. Don't we learn it from that pasuk? So again, the answer tanaihi ika nafka mehacha veika denafka lemehacha. Some people learn it from one, and some people learn it from the other. So now the Gemara is going to tell us. Okay. Interestingly enough, the Gemara doesn't have such an issue with it, and they're now going to say why there has to be a three-way machloket here, and each time we're going to have a reason as to why someone couldn't potentially learn it from the other source, or why they maybe use that source for something else. V'hanei t'nai mivilakach midam apar midam asir. The ones who learn the halakha of Ein Olim Mevatzelim Zedzeh, who learn it from dam apar and dam asir. The opposite. The Tanaim who don't learn it from Velakach Midama Paras Umidama Seir, why not? Lo Yalfe. The reason they don't, it's the sentence should be written the opposite. Hane Tanai, the Lo Yalfe Mi Velakach Midama Paras Umidama Seir, right? They don't learn it out from that Pasuk. Kasavre, they hold Eim Arvim Likranot. Okay? What do they hold? There's actually a machloket about what technically happens when the Kohen Gadol, does he actually mix the Dam HaPar and Dam HaSeir? Or does he not, before he does the presentations on the Mizbech, or does he not mix them? Some people think that he actually doesn't mix them. Okay? When it says, V'lakach midam HaPar and midam HaSeir, it doesn't mean you mix them together. It means you take the Dam HaPar and you take the Dam HaSeir and you put them on the Mizbech. So there's machloket about it. So if you hold that he doesn't actually mix them, well, then you don't learn the halacha, obviously. Ein olim mevatzelim zedzeh. Okay, so that's number one. Midam dam lo yalif. Why not? Why wouldn't you learn from these two references to the word dam in the pasuk? Dam dam lo mashmalahu. They don't think that that's a strong enough. The fact that dam appears twice in the pasuk is not enough to darshan. That's their, right? We've seen this many times. One person darshan some extra something, and the other guy says, oh, we don't learn that, right? We don't darshan things like that. Ela mikodesh heim my time alo yalfe. Why don't they learn it from kodesh heim? Kasavre, they have a different drasha they learn from this kodesh heim. Kodesh heim, heim krevim ve'ein tmuratam kreva. There's a unique halacha by Bechor, and this they learn out from the words kodesh heim. This everybody learns, okay? The question's going to be just where do you learn it from? If you learn it from kodesh heim, then kodesh heim isn't free to learn Ein Olim Mevatzelim Zedzeh. But if not, you're going to have to learn that halacha from somewhere else. We just said earlier that if you make something a tmura, so hu tmurato yekodesh, and you're going to have to sacrifice them both. When it comes to bechor, if you made something else into a bechor, first of all, it can't actually be a bechor because it's not a bechor. So what does it mean? So it means it has kedusha to it, but it doesn't get sacrificed. So what do you have to do? You have to wait till it gets a mum, like a regular bechor. What happens when a regular bechor gets a mum? A kohen can eat it. Right, it goes to the Kohen, but the Kohen can eat it. So if you made a Bechor, a Tmura, usually you sacrifice the animal and then the Kohen eats it. But if you made a Tmura of a Bechor, it's not sacrificed. So Kodesh Heim comes to teach you the Bechor is Kodesh, but not anything else. So if you were to make a Tmura Kodesh, it doesn't have the same status of Kedush and it's not sacrificed. Okay. V'idach, so those who learn Kodesh Heim for Ein Olim Mevatzelim Zedzeh, what does he do? Where does he learn the halacha of Heim Krevim Ve'ein Tmura Tam Kreba? There it says, right? If it's that's the pasuk about the ach bechor asher yuvukar la Hashem bebehema lo yakdish ishoto im shor im se la Hashem hu. It's hu la Hashem. So what do you learn from here? Only hu la Hashem. Only he gets sacrificed to Hashem, but not hu kare ve'ain tmurato kreva. Okay. So now we've explained Okay, just to review our structure, we brought two different sources that seem to contradict this opinion that Makom Shirayim is not the same as Makom Ola, which really means Ola or Shlamim or Todah or Asham. We tried to disprove them. We explained those sources by saying, no, it's not talking about Shirayim blood, it's talking about regular blood, and Shirayim would have to be brought in a unique place, and they're not talking about that. And then we said, well, then we have three different sources that teach you Ein Olim Mevatlim Zayitzeh. And then we explained why you would potentially have three different sources, because people might hold different things about different issues. Okay. Tashma. Now we're going to have proof to the opinion that you can throw the... This is again the same type of thing, really. It's again a source that proves that Makom Shirayim is the same as Makom Ola. Okay? Tashma. It's just the other ones were brought as a question on the other opinion. This is just brought as a proof. Or in theory, any proof could also be a question on the other side. Natan lamala velo nimlach. Right? You put, this is again, you have the chatap blood mixed up with the ola blood, and you put it lamala, and you didn't ask any questions. Eilu ve'eilu modim, sheyachzor v'yitein lamata. Right? Both Chachamim and Rabbi Lezer agree, even though L'chatchila, Chachamim say you have to throw it into the drain, down the drain. If you already did it lamala, then you can put the blood lamata. Elu ve'elu olinlo. And they both, right, you've succeeded in doing both. My lav now, again, what's the assumption that we're talking about? Di aref chatat ve'ola, bekevan di'avu lamala, havalu shirayim. In other words, what happened? You brought it lamala, and now you end up with Shirayim, v'katane, elu ve'elu modim, sheyachzor v'yitein lamata. Ushma mina, makom ola, makom Shirayim. In other words, what are we assuming? Elu ve'elu olinlo, it means your yotze, your Shirayim, and your yotze, your ola, which shows you that what? You pour it somewhere on the wall of the Mizbeach, and you don't need to pour it on this itzdaba of the Yesod.
The dripping down will do it.
What? The dripping down will do it. So, ki ata Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, amar. So now Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef comes to explain why this source is not necessarily a proof for that opinion, and again, a disproof for the other opinion. Because you could say, and he says, in Eretz Yisrael, this is what they say. They explain the source as being a different case. Hacha b'mayas kinan, kegon di'yarev chatad chitzona b'shirayim. Okay, now the assumption is we're talking about here, you mix the chatad chitzona with Shirayim of the Pnimit. Okay? So now, it's not talking about, when it's talking about that you're Yotze both by throwing it Lamata, you're talking about Shirayim and Shirayim together. You're not talking about Ola and Shirayim, you're talking about Shirayim and Shirayim. Amar le'abaye v'nei marmar kegon di'yar b'shirayim. In other words, then it should say that it was mixed b'shirayim, right? That... One second, I want to check one thing. Right, and as he's saying, why do you need to specifically say that it's the chatap pnimit? Why couldn't you just say, right, he's saying, actually, Neymar Mar is saying, Rabbi Yosef, I don't understand your answer. Why didn't you just, you should have suggested, why do you have to complicate things and say that it's talking about the blood that's left over from the chatat chitzona, the chatat pnimi, mixed up with the shirayim, right, mixed up with the chatat blood, which now you've already done lamala and all you're left with is shirayim lamata. You could just say very simply, iyarev b'shirayim, that it's any shirayim mixed up with the chatat blood, which then, again, once you did it lamala, then all you're left with is shirayim mixed with shirayim. So why do you have to come up with this case that's the pnimi? So here comes the answer, why he couldn't have said that. Dil mahakamashmalan, maybe he wanted to teach you that afilu lamanda amar shirayim mafim, here's good chazara, there was an opinion that said about the chatat opinion, if you remember, shirayim generally are not mafim, right? They're not part of the major part of the avoda. But some people claimed that in the chatat pnimit, the shirayim were the major, was a major part, it was ma'akev. If you didn't do it, it was no good. Now what's going to happen in this case? You have shirayim, and you have to do them. They're from the chatat pnimit, but what did you do with them first? You sprinkled them at the top of the mizbeach, because they were mixed up with chatat blood. So some of them, let's assume yesh bila, okay? Some of them got sprinkled already, so now there's not all of them are left. So what might you think? If you say Shirayim or Mahvim, maybe you think that if you're missing some, it's no good because some already got sprinkled the mala. So it's coming to teach you chasro ein ma'akvin. And even if you say shirayim ma'akvin, it just means that you have to spill some of the shirayim lamata. But it doesn't mean that you have to spill all of the shirayim, and if some of it got used accidentally for this chata because it was this mixture and it got done, it would be a problem. No, it's to teach you, even if you hold shirayim ma'akvin, and that's why he said it was this unique case of the chata pnimi. Amrle Rabba Tosfa ala Ravina. Ha ukimna hahi biruba el yonim. Why couldn't you just say, here's another question on Rav Yitzchak, who said it's this chatap pnimit mixed up, right? The shirayim of the chatap pnimit mixed up with the shirayim. Okay, right. His whole answer was just to say, we're only talking about shirayim here, and it doesn't teach us anything about makom olaz, makom shirayim. And obviously, where are you pouring it? Not on the wall of the mizbeach, but you're pouring it actually into that itztaba, that ledge. So now they're saying, ha'ukimna hahi, but didn't we already learn that all these sources are talking about biruba elyonim, v'kayav lemala shi'or tachtonim ve'od. Didn't we say before when we were explaining Rav Ashi's shita, that we're talking about that you did lemala, the shi'or of the tachtonim ve'od, you know, you got mixed up with blood from lamata, you sprinkled the tachtonim ve'od, and then at the bottom, we're really only talking about that you're yotze, you're shirayim, you're not yotze, you're ola. Isn't that what we said earlier? And therefore, your answer is not a good answer because you could explain it that way. Amarle, hanemile lamanda amrumi ikara ein bila. But maskana, I told you we were going to get back to this, bekoso plige. That was only if you explained our Mishnah saying that the blood got mixed up with the blood. But don't you remember that according to the conclusion, in other words, you're reminding us something that we had it as a suggestion. But in the end, the Gemara didn't conclude that. So therefore, you can't say that that's the case, that it's talking about that you're only yotzei the shirayim, and that's why Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef said that it must be the blood of the chatara pnimi that was left over that you're now sprinkling at the bottom, and again, that source tells us nothing about is makom olam, makom shirayim. Okay, new Mishnah. Hanitanim bifnim shenitavu benitanim bachutz. Okay, now we're moving. We had a little reference in our Gemara to the chatara pnimi. Now we're going to talk about what if you have blood of the chatara pnimi, which goes on a totally different mizbeach, and it gets mixed up with the chatara chitzoni. Okay, now what's the issue here? There's an additional issue, which is if you remember, I don't know if you remember this, but in Vayikra Perek Vav Pasuk Kaf Gimel it says, בכל חטאת אשר יובא מדמה אל עול מועד לכפר בקודש, any chatat blood that's supposed to be done outside, if you bring it inside עול מועד, which you would do in this suffix situation, right? Before we even get here, what are we assuming? You have פנימי and חיצוני. So what are you going to do? Which one comes first?
פנימי.
The פנימי obviously comes first because, oh, by the way, I never mentioned, why does the chatat press over the עול השלן תודה and אשם? Because it atones, it gives you kapara. So that's stronger than all the others, okay? Although the asham also gives kapara. But the chatat has precedence. But if it's chatat pnimi and chatat chitzoni, obviously the one inside has higher precedence because it's done inside the kodesh. So you want to bring it inside. But what's the problem if you bring this mixture inside? So the end of this pasuk is, if you take chatat sheyuvami dama al ol moed l'chaper b'kodesh, if you bring chatat blood inside the ol moed, the chatat chitzoni, it's disqualified. Okay? You have to burn it. It's no good. Okay? You can't eat the meat from there. So therefore, you can't bring it in first to the Kodesh because it's going to passel the other chata blood. So you're stuck. And you can't do the chata outside first because the pnimi takes precedence. So anitanim bifnim shenitaru b'nitanim b'chutz. Yishapchu la'ama. Here, everybody agrees that they get spilled. Okay? We'll see. The first question of the Gemara is, why doesn't Rabbi Lezer disagree with this also? And then we're going to say, it doesn't work. Natam b'chutz v'chazar v'natam b'fnim. But let's say you anyway did it b'chutz, and then you went and did it inside. It's kasher, because it's true you messed up the order, but you only messed up the order. In other words, you accidentally did it outside. Maybe you didn't realize at that point there was chatat pnimi mixed in. So that was fine, and now you can bring the rest of it inside, because we don't care if you passel the rest of the dam of the chatat. You've already done your job with the chatat. You're finished with it.
This is assuming you do all the shechita of every kind of thing outside.
Yeah, you're not doing the shechita inside. Right. No, nobody does the shechita inside. Bifnim b'chazar v'natam b'chutz. But let's say you did it inside and then you did it outside. So Rabbi Akiva posel. So Rabbi Akiva says, of course this is pasul because this is a classic case of chatat that huva midama bifnim. It's pasul. B'chachamim machshirim. Okay, we're going to have to see why. Ah, so now we're going to say like this. Okay, I actually didn't explain this right. Here we're talking about it's mixed with any sacrifice. Now, the pasuk there was talking about chatat blood that's brought inside. The machloka between Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim is, what about other blood? Everyone agrees the chatat blood that was brought inside is pasul. The question is, does that issur apply also to other sacrifices, even though it was just said about a chatat? If you bring any blood of any sacrifice inside, is it going to be a problem? So Rabbi Akiva says it's pasul. All korbanot that get brought into the hechal, it's a problem. The chachamim machshirim, so Rabbi Akiva omer, here we're going to see it. Kol damim shenichnesu lechaper behechal psulim. The chachamim omerim chatat bilvad. So if it was a chatat that was brought inside, for sure it's a problem. You can't bring the chatat blood outside and do it on the mizbech. But if it was some other sacrifice, we're going to have a machlok at Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim about whether it's, so again, Rabbi Akiva thinks all of the bloods are like that. And Rabbi Eliezer has a third shita where he says, afa asham shenemar kachatat kasham. So we have either only chatat blood is pasul when it goes inside the echal, or we're going to have chatat and asham, because chatat and asham are compared to the pasuk, so Rabbi Eliezer includes the asham, or according to Rabbi Akiva, all sacrifices. Okay, we'll stop here for today.
How could it not be all of them? Because the chatat is the most chamor, so obviously.
Could, maybe there's some special chumra about the chatat that if you bring that into the kodesh, it gets pasul. But maybe if it applies to all, why would it just say chatat?
Because they're giving the example of the most chamor.
Yeah, right, it could be. It could be. But there's a debate. Well, look, chatat is chamor in a particular way, but ola is chamor in a different way because ola is the whole thing gets burned. So it's not so clear.